Good morning, Wednesday morning for some of us. A little bit of a icy start to our day. I'm Mary Walter here with Vince Colonnese. Joining us right now from the Daily Caller, the White House reporter Sagar Njeti is joining us to talk about this Democratic memo. Sagar, welcome to Mornings on the Mall. How are you?
Thanks for having me, Mary. I really appreciate it.
Let's talk about this 10-page memo that the Democrats have released, and it's going through the process, and the president will have 5 days to decide whether to release it or redact it or what he wants to do with it. Do you think that the Democrats have purposely set a trap for the president? I'm hearing that a lot, and if so, why?
Yeah, so this is what we're hearing from a lot of White House officials, and actually from Representative Trey Gowdy. He said that there's a lot of sources and methods information that was intentionally placed in this very long rebuttal memo, which is going to force the White House's hand if they want to be responsible and, you know, keep sources and methods secret. That's something that, you know, that was talked about a lot yesterday. And Chief of Staff John Kelly actually said this as well, that it's, quote, not as clean whenever it comes to sources and methods. So this is going to be a long national security review for the FBI and for the Department of Justice. And what I think is really funny about this is that many of the Democrats were the ones who were screaming about how the GOP memo would reveal sources and methods and have national security implications. And then national security implications and sources and methods, by all indications, have been intentionally placed in their own memo in order to force basically a political showdown over redactions.
Isn't there a way, though, the president can get around this by not being involved in this and having someone from the FBI come out and say, or the DOJ come out and say, we had to redact this because of the fact that it had so many sources and methods named in it that we can't allow this to come out? It takes the president out of the loop totally.
I'm sure that there will be something to that effect. But, you know, as with all things with the White House, is that the buck stops with the president. And regardless of whether the FBI is the one saying something or not, they are likely still going to charge him with making political redactions. And what's the difficult part, too, is that many of the redactions can probably not even be spoken about by the FBI. So they can only say, yes, you know, we have contributed towards X amount, like some redactions within the memo. They can't name a specific number. And because, you know, redactions inherently are just black ink on a page, you don't really know what was there before. And so they can even charge a political redaction on a perfectly, you know, on a perfectly legitimate redaction. And there would really no way of fact checking that in the public sphere.
Sagar, this is all suggestive of the fact that the White House intends to release this. What's the latest on what the White House has said regarding whether or not they will release the 10-page memo?
Yeah, there's no indication so far that they're not going to release it. You know, they're saying they're going through the national security review. The president was briefed on the memo yesterday by Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. And, you know, by all indications here, the president is being briefed on this. The review is in the full process. There's been no suggestion whatsoever that the memo is not going to be released.
Yeah.
And, you know, the White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders has said over and over again that they're committed to transparency, that it's going to go through the same process. And I do expect it to be released.
I wonder what went on in that conversation with Rod Rosenstein yesterday, and if it was merely like limited to talking about the contours of a 10-page Democratic memo. And even if you are talking about the memo, talking about its contents sort of implicates that Rod Rosenstein's name would come up in other contexts. I wonder, of course, what happened there.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of us said, you know, oh, man, I wish I could be a fly on the wall for that. I mean, there's no secret that there's major tension right now between the president and between Rosenstein. And, you know, I'm sure that there was probably some discussion about the Mueller probe, about the FISA memo. I mean, as was revealed in the GOP memo, Rosenstein is one of the people who signed off on a FISA application on the FISA warrant for Carter Page, despite knowing much of the information that's out there now about the dossier, despite knowing that Christopher Steele, by the FBI's own admission, was no longer a trustworthy source of information. So it's actually kind of funny that Rosenstein is playing a key role in classifying and declassifying a memo which significantly implicates his own actions before the FISA court.
Can the president call everyone's bluff here and say, yeah, release it in full with no redactions, just to show the Democrats for what they are?
He could. He absolutely could. He has broad authority whenever it comes to this. The House Intelligence Committee has voted to declassify the memo, giving the president, you know, the full of the authority to request some redactions. But inherently, actually, whenever it comes to the release, he can approve it for release without redactions, but then those redactions could be requested by the House Intelligence Committee. So he doesn't actually have the authority to just fully release the entire thing itself. He can approve the release of the unredacted version, but say, you know, FBI investigators were to talk to the GOP staffers, you know, the majority staff of the House Intelligence Committee, or even the minority staff, and request some sort of redactions, that would probably be the case if he did that.
Right, assuming it travels merely through the House process. I wonder why Republicans even stomached it in the first place, though. If they knew that there were needed redactions, why did they pass off the buck for political blame to the President of the United States? It's weird that the Republicans on the House Intel Committee didn't handle this redaction problem before it got to the President.
Yeah, that's a good point, and I was thinking the same as well. I think they were just so desperate to show that, you know, they're committed to full transparency that they didn't realize that they're being snookered really into a political showdown over redactions.
Sagar, yesterday the president was heard saying that he's willing to move towards a government shutdown if he can't get what he wants on immigration. What do you know at this hour?
Yeah, what we know so far, though, is that the president is really the only one saying that. No lawmaker has said that immigration is going to be part of a spending deal, you know, in order to fund the government past February 9. Actually, White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said yesterday during the briefing, quote, "We do not expect any immigration proposal to be pegged on to this spending bill." And I think it reveals the president's deep frustration here, which is that he has put forward a legislative framework on immigration. And yet, you know, Senator McCain and Senator Coons released this alternative framework, which was totally dead on arrival at the White House. They haven't even taken up the legislative framework for debate. Nobody in the House is discussing with their Senate counterparts on this bill. It's almost as if the bill and the framework doesn't exist, right? And the DACA deadline is approaching very, very fast in March. And so, you know, there's just no movement. And I think that that's what the president is very, very upset about. He thinks that he won during the government shutdown. He thinks the American people, you know, and through recent polling, it does indicate that they are with him in wanting to get a DACA deal with some sort of fix for border security and chain migration. And so he says, okay, if we need to shut the government down, let's do it. But I don't think anybody else, he doesn't have very many people on his side when it comes to that position.
Very quickly, in the 30 seconds we have left, Josh Campbell was an assistant to James Comey. He is leaving to go on to CNN. Why is this such a big deal? Why is it newsworthy?
Yeah, it's very interesting because Mr. Campbell, in a flyer that I obtained, was advertising his position with CNN while he was a member of the Federal Bureau of Investigation, and he included a picture of himself on a CNN set. And in his farewell flyer to his fellow agents, he advertised and invited them to come and celebrate his new role, quote, defending Bureau on CNN. And Mr. Campbell is former assistant to James Comey. His hiring comes right before the release of an IG report from the FBI, which is expected to be extremely critical of many of the former associates of Campbell, including, you know, Deputy Director McCabe and Comey. And so I think his hiring by CNN is very, very interesting. And I think there's some more there that I'm looking into.
Yeah, well, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us, Sagar and Jetty, White House reporter for the Daily Caller. We hope to have you back again soon.
Thanks for having me.
It's 8:15.